Ijana bala giri bala dadi. Ijana bala giri bala dadi. Yashodhanandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashodhanandana Vraja Janaranjana Ramuna Tira Vanacharya Tira Vanachari Jayorata Matava Kunjavihari Jana bala ba giri bara dhari Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana Ramuna tira Chariya Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashodhanandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashodhanandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanacharya Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayorata Madhava Kunjavihari Jayorata Madhava Javihari
Chaya Om Vishnupat Paramahansa Pariyuraja Gacharya Astotara Shata Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Chaya Om Vishnupat Paramahansa Pariyuraja Gacharya Totara Shatra Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharas Srila Prabhupada ki Nantakoti Vaishnava Vrimna ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki Prince Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrimna ki Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki Sri Vrindavan Dham ki श्री मायापुर धाम की, श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र धाम की, गंगा माई की, यमुना माई की, भक्ति देवी की, श्रीमती तुलसी देवी महारानी की, हरि नाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की, ग्रंथराष्ट्र श्रीमद् भागवतम की, समवेत भक्तवृंद की, ताई गौर प्रेमानंदी. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, Text 11 and 12. Okay, there is a previous verse, the 11, and then I will read together number 12. Satam niketam parimishya shunyam apashyamana kupito nanada shrimam dhyam dhishakam vivaram samudram vishnu vichimvan nadadarsha viraha Translation, upon seeing that the residence of Lord Vishnu was vacant, Hiranyakashipu began searching for Lord Vishnu everywhere. Angry at not seeing him, Hiranyakashipu screamed loudly and searched the entire universe, including the surface of the earth, the higher planetary systems, all directions and all the caves and oceans. But Hiranyakashipu, the greatest hero, did not see Vishnu anywhere. Text 12. Apashyan iti hovacha Mayan vishtam idam jagat Bratriha megato nunam Yato navartate puman Apashyanniti hovacha Mayan vishtam nidam jagat Bratriha megato nunam Yato navartate puman Apashyanniti hovacha Mayam vishtam idam jagat Bhratrirhamigato nunam Yato navartate puman Thank you.
Mithyuvacha Mayam Vishtam Midam Jagat Nam Tepumam Yam Vishtamidam Jagat Apashyan, not seeing him iti, in this way Ha uvacha utter, okay, thank you. Maya, by me, Amvishtam has been sought. Idam, the whole Jagat universe, Bratriha, Lord Vishnu, who killed the brother. Me, my Gataha, must have gone Nunam, indeed Yataha, from where Na, not Avartate, comes back Puman, a person. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Unable to see him, Hiranyakashipu said, I have searched the entire universe, but I could not find Vishnu, who has killed my brother. Therefore, he must certainly have gone to that place from which no one returns. In other words, he must now be dead. Purport. Atheists generally follow the Buddha philosophical conclusion that at death everything is finished. Hiranyakashipu, being an atheist, thought this way. Because Lord Vishnu was not visible to him, he thought that the Lord was dead. Even today, many people follow the philosophy that God is dead. But God is never dead. Even the living entity, who is part of God, never dies. Najayate mriyate vakadha chit. For the soul, there is never birth or death. This is the statement of Bhagavad Gita 2.20. Even the ordinary living entity never takes birth or dies. What then is to be said of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the chief of all living entities? He certainly never takes birth or dies. Ajo pisan avayatma. Both the Lord and the living entity exist as unborn and inexhaustible personalities. Thus, Hiranyakashipu's conclusion that Vishnu was dead was wrong. As indicated by the words Yato na vartate puman, there is certainly a spiritual kingdom, and if the living entity goes there, he never returns to this material world. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti maneti sorjuna. Materially speaking, every living entity dies. Death is inevitable. But those who are karmis, jnanis, and yogis return to this material world after death, whereas bhaktas do not. Of course, if a bhakta is not completely perfect, he takes birth in the material world again, but in a very exalted position, either in a rich family or a family of the purest brahmanas. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe. Just to finish his development in a spiritual consciousness, I will read that sentence again. Of course, if a bhakta is not completely perfect, he takes birth in the material world again, but in a very exalted position, either in a rich family or a family of the purest brahmana, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe, just to finish his development in a spiritual consciousness. Those who have completed the course of Krishna consciousness and are free from material desire return to the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yat gatva nanivartante tattama paramam mama. Here, the same fact is stated. Yato na vartate puman. Any person who goes back home, back to Godhead, does not return to this material world. So the verse says, unable to see him, Hiranyakashipu said, I have searched the entire universe, but I could not find Vishnu, who has killed my brother. Therefore, he must certainly have gone to that place from which no one returns. In other words, he must now be dead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Grim Yat Kripata Mahambande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunjavadi Paschatyadi Shatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Ask for blessing from my seniors. So Hiranyakashipu is representing, especially through the purport, Prabhupada is taking the atheist, those who have feelings of enmity toward God or toward Krishna. In the case of Hiranyakashipu, he really have he was a genuine enemy of Lord Vishnu. Most of the atheists nowadays are not genuine enemies of Lord Vishnu. Usually, there is more like as a concept of God that they have, or a psychological concept of God that they have, and doesn't match with their own reality or their own experiences. Therefore, they become upset. But most of them, they would like to have a God. In case of Hiranyakashipu, he already knew Lord Vishnu, and that he was there, and he didn't want it. He didn't want Krishna at all. He wanted to kill him. So Prabhupada, in his purport, he is talking about the atheists that are coming from the religion of Buddhism, in which it's a non-theistic religion. He said, atheists generally follow the Buddha philosophical conclusion that at death everything is finished. So this is a concept of... Hiranyakashipu didn't believe in that. He understood reincarnation, because we know and some, many concepts, because he was a Karmakandi. He followed the Karmakanda process. He also was a follow the process of yoga. So he has certain knowledge. But nowadays, most atheists, they follow more the not the Veda, the ideas that support atheism, utilizing the Vedas, like impersonal philosophy, which is another form of atheism. But they take more from the concept that there is not life after death. And not even the Buddhists believe in that. Because Buddhism also, many branches of Buddhism believe in reincarnation. So the at death everything is finished. This is a very, but for from the Bhagavad Gita point of view, is not like a very good argument. Because that's the first thing that is taught to Arjuna, very clear. There is the Nasato Vidyate Bhavo, no, the Tattva Darshina, those who have scientifically experienced the transcendental knowledge, they make conclusions already, and they make a distinction between matter and spirit. So therefore Bhagavad Gita goes on with verses like Srila Prabhupada is quoting, Najayate Mriyate Vakadachin, that there is no death, Mriyate and Namriyate, for the living entity. So there is a distinction between the living entity and the body, which is compared by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita as a machine, no? Yantra Rudrani, no? Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, he's in the heart of everyone, and he's giving advice to the jiva who is within the body, which is a machine made of material energy. So this is one atheist, which we have a history of us in science and other fields, that they have been fighting each other, no? Religions, people with arguments about the existence of the soul, the existence of God, and then scientists trying to defeat that as non-rational sometimes. But there are some people who are there, who are also scientists or psychologists, who say that most of the atheists, actually, they are not taken to atheism because of trying to be rational, because they are supporting this with modern science, but because they have an issue with God. There is it's a psychological problem, which is the same reason that they say that people take to theism, and or they believe in God also because they have some lacks of some psychological issues in life that make them to believe in a superior force. So I would like to talk a little bit about this. So I won't put name because it's not necessary to give a quote, but I will read from a psychologist who give this point. He said, the major barriers to believing God are not rational, but in a general sense can be called psychological. Because in our philosophy we know that finally every living entity is looking for Krishna. That's the Vaishnava philosophy. We understand that if you read on the way to Krishna, or Prabhupada presents Krishna as the object of happiness, and every sentient being is trying to achieve some happiness in different ways, but they are trying to achieve it. And in the Taittiriya Upanishad, this is called the five I think, koshas of level of happiness, which is anamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, gyanamaya, and anandamaya. And so, regardless of religion, people are looking for happiness in anamaya, or means to be satisfied on the level, on the economic level, and being able to fill your belly, but to say it simple, not to, by eating. So we have a, for instance, if you have a pet or a dog, you will see that it's very easy to keep them happy if you just give them food and some affection. So some food that will move the tail. No? Yeah, they are so happy. No? And a baby, a human being in the early development, they are just very satisfied if the mother is providing them milk and again, and shelter. So anamaya means food, ana, and pranamaya is the when we distinguish the our life from the life of other, not the symptom of life. So this is when we have the need of not only food, but we also need affection and it's the development of emotions. So therefore, a baby, he cannot survive only on food, because he's looking for satisfaction in the food and in the protection of the mother. And also he feels fear. Is he fear that other living, other human beings or other insects, someone will kill him, because he can distinguish. So therefore, a baby, for instance, is very happy when the mother is coming, but when someone else wants to see the baby, especially if they have muftar or the beer, they become very afraid. No? So they start screaming, and they are helpless. They cannot protect themselves. They need from mother. So animals, like dogs also, no, they have food, but they also are looking for some affection, or someone who can pet him. Now, there is even in America, sometimes they have a psychology for pets, for dogs, when they feel sad. So these needs we are sharing with other living entities. So even atheists, they are looking for that. They go through the same process. So they are looking for satisfaction, for happiness. And this is a level of somehow it's a level of God consciousness, a level of looking for God, an indication. And then we have manomaya, which is when we start looking for happiness and through the development of our mind. So some people, they make art, no, the soul of their happiness, no, that, like music, especially of a painting, and also, or you may go to with a friend to eat in a restaurant. So you have anamaya satisfied, and you have a nice talk, no, anamaya, and then you go to the cinema. No, that's manomaya, no, something for the mind, no, to give some food for the mind, and. So most of the human society is in this level, is satisfied in manomaya. You give them baseball, no? Soccer match, and cinema, new movies, no? Hollywood, Bollywood, and that's it. They are okay with that. As far as they have someone who can love them, some money to access to that pleasures, and that's okay. So this is most of the population is in manomaya, but there are some certain sector of the population of human beings that they are not satisfied with that. They look at, okay, yeah, we have movies, so what? I read many books, but nothing is talking about the real problems of life, no? they start figuring out, why do I have to die? Who we are? Who am I? So there are mainly philosophers, and this is the level of Jnanamaya, who can understand that there is a difference between body and soul. They, through philosophical research, they can come to conclusions. Okay, there is something different. There is consciousness, there is matter. And there are just a few, no? For most people, again, like if you ask them who you are, they would say their name, and they're okay. So I answer the question. So next. So therefore, philosophy class nowadays is almost like many. There are discussions even to take out sometimes philosophy from high school, and the kids, they don't realize the importance of philosophy. I remember when I was in high school, a friend of mine, he answered a philosophy paper in an exam. You know, that he put, "Is Socrates says that only," I'm paraphrasing because I don't know the phrase in English, "I only know that I know nothing." No, because that was the conclusion of Socrates. That his knowledge was to understand that he actually was very tiny. "I don't understand." So he put in the paper, "And if Socrates said that I only know that I know nothing, imagine myself." So he didn't write anything. And he's such a great philosopher, doesn't know anything, what to speak of me. So for many of the high school students, it's a puzzle philosophy. Like, why they're asking this question? Why? But for many others, they realize that there are important questions because they are not satisfied with this level of anamaya, pranamaya, and manomaya. And then just only few people are not satisfied with this speculation. Among the philosopher, Bhagavad Gita explained that Sahasreshu, no, that millions of people who are looking for the understanding of who we are, what we are doing in this world, is there a supreme cause? Only few will come to the conclusion that God is a person and is Vasudevan Sarvamiti, and is providing everything. So these rare souls, Mahatmas, are very unique personalities that they surrender to Krishna. But again, for most of the population, especially in like the Vedas describe in this material world, you have to go from anamaya and satisfy the level of pranamaya and manomaya, and then so therefore you have karmakanda. No, karmakanda is all a process that is giving people the needs, basic needs, fulfilled through a process of religion. No? Dharma, artha, and kama. You have that. And only for those who are looking for the difference between body and soul, that they can understand that there is something higher than themselves and higher than matter, they go through, they become jnanis, and they can follow the process of jnana yoga or dhyana yoga. And so, atheists nowadays, who is an atheist usually? Is someone who could not satisfy these needs in different levels. So, but if you have for instance, a family, a broken family, and then you couldn't have the proper affection from your father, your mother, you didn't have a loving mother, a loving father, then you are lacking in your search for happiness. You couldn't find the minimal happiness from childhood. And then suppose you experience other problems, or you find some happiness, but you realize that other people are not finding it. So these persons, sometimes they turn to God, and these are called the pious. Chaturvida Vajantiman. No, there are two kind of people. No, the Arta, and see these two, Arta and Arto. So the Arta is looking for anamaya, no, wealth, no, food, good food, and the Arto is in distress. He has maybe broken relationships and not finding happiness in this world, and he has the hope that, okay, God can help me, maybe. No, I will try my best. But other people, the Duskritis, they won't turn to God in that moment. They turn against God. So this is the psychological thing, that they say, okay, if there is a God, they should give me satisfaction. I should be happy. So why I am suffering? So having said that, I will read some points. So some of us have been blessed with an upbringing, a temperament, social environment, and other gifts that have made believing God a much easier thing than many who have suffered more, or have been raised in a spiritually impoverished environment, or had other difficulties with which to cope. Now, so not everyone is born in a environment in which you learn about God, etc. And also, again, you have people who care about you. So therefore, if you don't have that, this is very common in the modern society. And most people, they are born in broken family. You know, there is no more the concept of mother, father, and you have like a two mother, two father, two houses, three houses. My nephew have like a three houses. So it's a different reality. So to believe, you can turn to God because you have many excuses to give. So there are here. This is from one psychology. He said, ideas have arisen from the same need as have all the other achievements of civilizations, from the necessity of defending oneself against the crossing superior force of nature. So they say that, again, the people who are lacking in their environment, you try to make something better in your life, so therefore you turn to God, not to improve your life. Or the opposite, the same argument can be used. You turn to an upsetting mood against God because you don't have all these things, no? And you try to get them by yourself. You say, I don't need God to make my life better. But both are non-rational ideas of coming to God. As we know, in devotional service, you have pure devotional service and mixed devotional service. So if you just come to God just for improving your economic financial situation, is not a rational way to come to God, because actually you can say, okay, just try to work better, become a better person, and you can also improve your life. Like, there are many people who don't believe in God and they have a lot of money and they have a good family. So this idea of God as the bread giver has created many atheists, no? Because they think, okay, if God is just only to give you money, give you a job, give you a girlfriend, a boyfriend, then we don't need God. We can get it in another way. Of course, we know the Paramatma is there, but this is understanding. So, yes, so I don't want to go too much. So this is basically, it's very, from the Bhagavad Gita point of view, it's very basic. Like, you have people who are looking for God for material things, and people who become upset because God is not giving them what they want. So it's like a very childish argument. So when it comes to talk to people, like if you have experience they're going to book distribution, when you ask them about God, most of them say, if God exists, why there is suffering in the world? Well, this is another argument. So this is, again, they have an idea of God, that God has to be a person who makes everything just. So if they will take the position of God, the world will be all, like, there won't be any suffering in any place. So there are many arguments of why God cannot do that, etc. We understand through the law of karma. Another religion, they have other arguments like that. But again, it's just a... they will believe in God if there won't be any suffering in the world. So again, it's a concept that they have, that God has to be in this way. So another way that people turn towards atheism is because of general socialization. That happened with many devotees who are born, devotees who are born in families of devotees, but they learn in a way from their parents that is very different from the society in which they live. No? So therefore, in order to fit, sometimes they, for a period of time, they will say, I'm an atheist, like that. It's like in Christianity, it happened. No? Happened to many teenagers. No? It's just because it's not... it may not be, here in America, it's a lot, people believe more in God, but if you go to Europe, like, it's a, you can be ostracized in a school if you say, I believe in God. And if you're going to become a scientist in the university, you better shut up about God. If you want to have a good position and have good friends, like, better don't talk about God like that. So just for socialization, you may do it, but it's not, again, it's not a rational. It's not because you're a philosopher and you come up with a theory that there is no God. So then you read some philosophy of atheism and you may accept, but in your core heart it's because of socialization or because of the reason that you're upset at God. So then for personal convenience, this is one of the most common, because most religions, if you want to be a serious, it will require that you stop sense gratification. So for instance, if you want to take to Vaishnavism, you have to give up meat eating at one point, and there are many facilities that we have today that you may not access because now you are a Vaishnava. So if you do it, then you will be, you will feel bad, guilty, like that. So therefore, for personal convenience, I just give up the religion so I can enjoy life without any problem. And this is this is because we always want to be the best in what we do. So therefore, if I'm going to be like a regular religious person, a non-honest, a hypocrite, I prefer to be a materialistic person. But again, it's not philosophical. It's not a reason. And so these are some thoughts about that. And so therefore, you can give the, now you can take a person and explain the Bhagavad Gita, no? So you start, Krishna is saying, Nasato vidate babo, navabo vidate nasataha, that this is the difference between the soul and matter, then najayate mriyate vakadachin. And you can explain, but people won't move from their beliefs because they didn't become atheists because of a philosophical reason. So even if you give all the logical argument from scriptures, they are not going to change because they are against God somehow. Or believing in that, it can compromise their life. If they accept the belief in God or they accept the soul, they have to change their way of life, and that's very difficult. So therefore, I reject this. So therefore Srila Prabhupada said that his books are for, are meant for the devotees mainly, no? Because most those who are pious in previous life, they can take to Krishna consciousness. Yeshatu antagatam papam, no? Those who are free from papa. It's easier for them to approach a process of God consciousness because they are more inclined to the mood of goodness. So therefore, if you have to give up eating meat, okay, they can understand, yes. And then it is like, oh yeah, that's great. And so that it's easier in that sense to the first steps. But if you are coming from a very a sense gratification background, very strong and with ideas, then it's more difficult. No, I have to do, it's nice, but I have to do all these things. No, no way. No. So they practice for some time and then they go back to mainstream culture of life. So whoever reads, I mean, Bhagavad Gita and Krishna book and Bhagavatam, if you finish the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said that you are prepared to, so to accept the existence of God and surrender to Him. So so reading Prabhupada's book, it can destroy all this argument, but most people who are atheists in the first sentences, when they start hearing about sense gratification that is condemning that, then they say, oh no. So they close. But if they continue, they can become devotees. But, well, my point is this. Most people become devotees not because of the philosophy, and this is this come after, but the way that Srila Prabhupada made devotees is more from the psychological aspect. In the, what I want to say is that he cared for people. So he represented that aspect that people not get from the idea of God, that he's a loving person. And therefore they turn to atheism, because they don't get the satisfaction in this level. But when Prabhupada came, so as a representative, a pure representative of God, he started his preaching movement by caring about people, then building the trust for them to believe in Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, etc. So while he was giving the transcendental holy name and speaking philosophy, it was not his only weapon. He had the prasanna, especially. And what is more connected to affection than food, no? This is anamaya. The first satisfaction we get in this world when we came is milk, no? From our mother. And so Prabhupada is feeding, no? He was feeding the newcomers, and so they were becoming attached to Prabhupada. It's very special now when you, like Manos, you're making a cake. No, it's not the same that someone make a cake for you, your birthday, than we go to Costco somewhere and we buy a cake. No, here is the cake. No? So this is most of many kids that have their birthday, the mother goes and buy the cake and then they give it. It's not the same someone cooking for you, because it shows that it's this person is caring, it's showing care, it's showing love. So Srila Prabhupada used that, and then combined with the philosophy and everything, he created a whole experience, you know, of Krishna consciousness. But again, so when you see that Krishna consciousness, or God consciousness, is not just a dry argument, no, like many people do today, not debate about God exists, no, God doesn't exist, no, they do that, and they, if you don't believe in God, you're going to hell, no, all these things, they don't move the heart of people. So most intelligent people, they don't buy this. But they will buy a whole experience, and that's Krishna consciousness is giving that is not just a concept of ideas or ideas that you can live with, that you can experience. So Prabhupada talks about back to Godhead, no? Going back home. No, home is a place where you feel shelter. So the Vaishnava philosophy is telling us Sambandha, our relationship with God, that we actually have a home, and then Avideya, a way to get to home, and Prayojana, what you will get in that home, no? all the pleasure that will come from going there. So this is, but in order to give this, you can experience that here in this world. So the first time you go to a temple, you have an experience in the at least how Srila Prabhupada made this movement. You feel like home. No? You feel like home because of, the devotees are friendly, no? Which is a quality. Other devotees and they will give you prasadam. No? Then they will sing, they will dance, they will be happy. So they give a glimpse of the of what they are going to get in the spiritual world. It's not just a promise, not something, okay, you suffer in this world with us, and then we go back to Godhead. But the idea is you enjoy, you know, you will have a great time, you know, preaching Krishna consciousness, and then we are going back home, which is not very different of what we are going to do here. So we're going to chant, we're going to speak about Krishna, and in the spiritual world, it's the same. We're going to do the same. So it is an experience. So therefore, when one is practicing Krishna consciousness and read, for instance, this purpose, the Prabhupada said, as indicated by the word yato na vartate pumam, there is certainly a spiritual kingdom. And if the living entity goes there, he never returns to this material world. So, a spiritual kingdom. So we have glimpses of the spiritual kingdom by practicing Krishna consciousness. It's not very much different of taking darshan of the deities, of worshipping the deity, doing these activities. And Prabhupada said, but those who are karmis, jnanis, and yogi return to this material world after death. So in the other processes, like karma kanda, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga, the process are very different from the goal. For instance, the process of karma kanda, the goal is going to heavenly planets. But in order to do that, you have to do many, you have to sacrifice material possessions to do that. So you have to do many austerities. And then you are going to stop all the yagas. Once you get there, you don't have to do it anymore. So it's like a burden that you have to overtake in order to get something. And the same with the jnana process. You have to put yourself in a very strict environment of only celibacy and dry arguments, etc. Finally to become one with Brahman, no? And enjoy the bliss of Brahman. But once you are in Brahman, you are not going to study the Vedas. No? Sariraka-vasya, you will leave it aside and then now I'm experiencing. But in the Bhakti Yoga process, so you are learning Krishna's pastimes, learning about the glories of devotional service, and cooking for Krishna, you know, talking about Krishna, worshipping Krishna. So when you go to the spiritual world, what you are doing? You know? If you want to stop the thing, then you won't like the spiritual world, because you go, oh, it is the same, we have to chant again? Prasadam again, no! So the process is the same, so the experience, is you can experience in this life. So it's a whole experience that is basically showing that all this argument of the psychological aspect of atheist, that is, I cannot, there is suffering, you know, I cannot get happiness, and God is bad, etc. And when you practice Krishna consciousness, you realize that Krishna actually is a loving person. It's the Suhridansa Bhutanam, he's the best friend. And there are ways to experience that. So there are many 64 practices in devotional service to realize God as a friend, and you have a spiritual master, spiritual relationships. So if we practice correctly the philosophy of Vaishnavism, then we're supposed to be living in a loving environment. And so we're supposed to cure, to heal all our emotional needs, all the emptiness that we feel in the heart through the association of the body. Slowly but surely, you start getting satisfied in all the levels. From Anamaya, from the first day with prasadam, once you become a devotee, you will never lack food. You will never lack prasadam. An environment of... I mean, you can fast, you can travel and preach, and may not be food, but if you eat just one piece of rice offered to Krishna, you will feel satisfied. No? Yeah. So that feeling of satisfaction will be there from the first time. And then, more difficult, but also easy, then you start developing a Vaishnava relationship. And as you develop this relationship, those will feel. Only one relationship with a Vaishnava can give you what you cannot get with 100 family member or whatever people you know. Just one Vaishnava can buy your steal your heart. Therefore, okay. So this Prabhupada ends the purport. Any person who goes back home, back to Godhead, does not return to this material world. So anyone who experienced Krishna consciousness, they don't want to come back to the previous consciousness of lacking, emptiness. Okay, there are some questions.
I got one. Quick question. So the psychologists, they think if you're an atheist, you have a psychological problem.
Well, they don't say, it's not that few psychologists, they say that not all atheists are rational. Most of them, they have a non-rational belief in why they turn to...
Most of them had a non-rational
belief. Yeah, let me see this term because... Yeah, but in any case, it's not all psychologists, it's just only few. Most psychologists, they don't study atheists, they study why we turn to religion. So why we, because of psychological issues, we create a person, we believe in a superior force. So the quote I read was, the major barrier to believing God are not rational, but in a general sense can be called psychological.
If the person rejects God, meaning that the acceptance of God is a psychological problem, either you reject it or you're embracing.
Like Hiranyakashipu even, no? Like he's just against God because he killed Hiranyaksha.
What is the normal for the psychologists? What is a normal state of life? What is a psychologically healthy person?
Well, they have a problem with that. Because in the first psychology, they study actually the person who are having problems, so they didn't have a concept of what is a sane person. But there are some modern psychology, they have some ideas of what is a self-realized person, but it's not too close to, they don't go too far, no, as to transcendental happiness like that, but they just go to level of needs, no? like the level of anamaya, they go pranamaya, affection, they go to manomaya, and being someone important outside, being satisfied with your job, you know, your family, everything, having something to give to society, you know, that's a healthy person, they have this balance of receiving and giving, but they get to there. And gratefulness. It will be like a pious person, the concept of a healthy one. Someone who can appreciate others. Like Dharma, how people understand Hinduism, in many textbooks, Hinduism is shown as a religion that is not presenting a god, but is presenting a way of life, a healthy way of life. Dharma, no? Do good for others and you receive good. Like, very like a superficial. Yes, like karma, yeah, if you are good, then the universe will respond to you. Yeah. But there is not a... some person study personalities like we have in our tradition, like Rantidev or Vasudeva Datta, they were willing to suffer for the benefit of others. And at the same time, while they were suffering, they were experiencing, there was this apparent contradiction. They were experiencing distress and at the same time, supreme happiness. But it's very difficult to understand this dynamic. And but there are some who, they have studied that and sometimes they think that this is a psychotic thing.
Hare Krishna. For the sake of completion, could you describe some Brahma Maya and Ananda Maya so that we can have a complete understanding of this progression?
So Jnana Maya and Ananda Maya? Yeah. So Jnana Maya? Yeah. Sometimes it's called Vijnana Maya. Sometimes. Sometimes it's called Vijnana Maya. Depends where you read the Bhagavad. So let's say Vijnana Maya, there's less confusion with that. It's the difference when you realize that you are a spiritual soul and you derive pleasure from being a spirit, aham brahmasmi, that's the level, no? Aham brahmasmi, and so this is a huge realization. Aham brahmasmi, I am a spirit. It's a huge realization. But it's not all. Like Bhagavad Gita is given that realization in the second chapter, but still Arjuna is perplexed on how to act because he thought that aham brahmasmi, so okay, I'm a spiritual soul, means giving up activity, you know, giving up karma. So therefore I can concentrate on being a soul, going to practice meditation. But Krishna is saying, no, there is more than that. So you can, therefore there is a whole discussion that will be Anandamaya, basically, which means the activities of the soul. When the soul experiences happiness because of practicing his relationship with the source of happiness, with Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure. So there is an unlimited sort of pleasure of ananda coming in that relationship therefore because of this unlimited happiness that comes in the relationship of God with the living entity through the process of bhakti yoga of very advanced devotee will consider the happiness derived from this vijnana maya as moksha laguta kriti, which means moksha means liberation and lagu means small, very small. So they will consider that happiness very insignificant. And at one point, when they experience sandra ananda visheshatma, which means condensed happiness, so condensed that like metal, like if you want to put a pin in metal, you can't. There is no space. But if you want to do it in earth, in soil, you can't do it. No? But it's so concentrated happiness that there is no other happiness that can fit there. So if you want to put the happiness of Brahman for someone who is experiencing Sandrananda Visesatma, it becomes like hell. It's like you're proposing he'll go to hell or go to jail. It's like someone experiencing happiness in the jail because he has a good spaghetti plate, and someone is outside the jail in Hawaii, no, in a boat, swimming, and you tell, do you want to have spaghetti in the jail? He said, no, no way. I'm very fine here. No? So for a devotee who is experiencing this happiness, like Rupa Goswami, when they think about liberation, they say, no, this is like a witch. No? I don't want that. So this is Anandamaya.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. One of the most nice points you made, Prabhupada, he wasn't just preaching Krishna consciousness to them, philosophy, he cared about them. And there's a quote that says, I mentioned before to you, no one cares how much you know, until they know how much you care.
So, no one cares about you.
Yeah, and we can see that in the material world, wherever your faith goes, is whoever you feel has the most love for you, the most care, and I appreciate that point. My question is kind of regarding, you were mentioning atheists, and I think we will all agree to some extent that we have a good nature and a bad nature, or an atheist in nature. And Hiranyakashipu, he was a supreme atheist, even though he believed in reincarnation, we also do. One atheistic wish he prayed for is that, I wish everything would go my way. Now, I don't think any of us was, argue with Hiranyakashipu, but we'll all agree that we wish everything would go our way. Everyone would not criticize us, every circumstance. As far as spiritual practitioners are concerned, we also wish we can control our senses. But then sometimes Krishna makes us realize that we're not in control of that. Just like Sarvari Muni, he thought he had control over his senses, but then he married 50 girls after he committed offense. So my question is that, how do we keep in mind, there's a verse that says, Urva Bahu Kadi Kohan Shunya Sarvalo Nama Sutra Gansipada Kante Eshlo. One should always remember Lord Chaitanya's verse of, everything's not going to go your way. That's why you have to be humble. Life is going to throw you, it's a boxing match that's going to throw you punches, and you have to be prepared for them. So how do we keep that in mind? Because I think from one extent that we're all atheists is that when we see that things are not going our way, then we become either depressed or angry. And when things are going our way, we think, like Hiranyakashipu, I have everything under control. So how do we keep our bhakti mitts on, that this life is a bhakti match, and we shouldn't be surprised that we're not God. So how do we keep this in mind? Because that keeps us out of a lot of trouble, basically. When we think we're God, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Committing apparas, leave Krishna consciousness because we're too depressed. So what are some steps we could do to keep that in mind, that we're not God?
Can you summarize?
Yes.
In a sentence?
How do we keep in mind that, it's the same question I ask all the time, essentially. So I think this is the most important point. We need to repeatedly hear these things, that we're not God. Everything's not going to go our way, because we'll either become dejected because we can't control our senses. And usually when we can control our senses, people become elated. I'm an authority on Krishna consciousness. Then when we don't control our senses, we want to leave Krishna consciousness because I'm too embarrassed. But we never had control of our senses or people or circumstances in the first place. So how do we keep this in mind so we won't be surprised by our setbacks that we're not God?
Well, I think it's transcendental knowledge. In the sense that if we don't keep the understanding of Sambandha, of who is Krishna, who we are, then by a little achievement that we have, we become an illusion, thinking that we are best than others, best than the one that we have next to us. Because not necessarily we say I am best than Krishna, but if you're practicing devotional service, like you do a perfect sadhana, And then after a while you start looking for the faults in others. No, oh, he's not doing good sadhana, he's not doing. So then Krishna make you miss again. Like you know that story of a devotee who was very perfect in his sadhana. So he was always waking up from Mangalarti at the right time and doing well in all aspects of devotional service, but he was proud. That was the problem. So Maya, one day, he was missing Mangalarati because he was sleeping and his watch didn't ring. So he was about to sleep and don't go to the program. And so Maya immediately came and said, "Wake up, wake up! You have to go to Mangalarati." So, "Who are you?" "I'm Maya." "You can't be Maya, you're waking me up from Mangalarati, you're trying to help me." "Yes, I'm trying to help you. Go to Mangalarati, you're missing it. What devotee will say about you if you meet?" "Say, but how can you be Maya if you're helping me?" "Yes, I'm Maya." "Say, please explain." "Okay." "Say, if you don't go to Mangalarati, you will become humble and you will understand that sometimes there are problems and it may improve your relationship with devotees. But if you go to Mangalarati, you will continue path up like you are and then committing many offenses and then you will go down and down and down." Like that. Something like that. And when Pradyumna Prabhu, he was reading the Hari Bhakti Vilas in Sanskrit because he was one of the first ISKCON devotees scholars in Sanskrit. So Prabhupada said, "Don't read that book." And he said, "Prabhupada, this is Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatan Goswami." Say, "Don't read the book." So he was thinking that Prabhupada was teasing him, not like if I see like Jainita reading Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada will stop reading Bhagavad Gita. No? He will think like, he's joking. No? So he continued reading, no? Like 2-3 times. But finally Prabhupada said, "I told you, stop reading that book." He said, "Please explain me, Prabhupada, because this is the book from the Goswamis." He said, "Yes, the book is fine. Says, with the book, nothing wrong. The problem is you. Because this Hari Bhakti Vilas has so many rules and regulations about Vaishnavism, you will read the book and then start criticizing devotees. Because you will know more than them and you will know when they are committing a mistake. So you will become a fault finder and go to hell." Yes. Yes. This is in the Hari Sauri. I heard it from Gauranga Prabhu, Prabhupada. Okay, see. So, keeping in mind the knowledge, the offenses, all the things that may help us. Again, Maya is strong, we are practicing. So we depend on the mercy of the devotees who are living with us. Sometimes they can tolerate our pride. And also we depend on being careful, of understanding, like the seminar, Anartha Nivritti, we have it very essential. Because after you see that seminar, you want to be more careful in appreciate more the Vaishnavas, everything. So,
Hare Krishna. I missed that point. You were talking about Sandratma. What was that? You were talking, well, I missed that word.
No, Sandra Ananda Visheshatma.
No, you're talking about Sandra Ananda Visheshatma. Specifically, you're talking about that word. You use a word, specific word. When,
yeah. No, so I was explaining that this means condensed happiness.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sandra Ananda. So, yes.
Okay, so you told that the impersonalist, they feel Sandra Ananda Visheshatma. But the devotees also feel Sandra Ananda Visheshatma because they are experiencing Krishna.
Yeah, the who go to experience the Brahman happiness, they don't experience that Sandarananda, they experience moksha. But compared to Sandarananda, Visheshatma is like, it doesn't fit because it's like trying to put a pin in a strong surface that nothing enter here in soil or other surface. You can put a pin. Something inside, like no, you can put an incense here, but you cannot put an incense if you in the bottom you have only metal, no, steel. So the happiness of Brahman doesn't, the concept of happiness doesn't fit as happiness when you are talking about Sandrananda Visheshatma, the happiness that the devotees experience in the level of Prema Bhakti. In the level of Baba, they consider as a very small happiness, Moksha Laguta Kriti. Okay, it's some happiness there, but in Sandrananda Visheshatma, it's not happiness, it's just like hell. Something like that I was explaining.
Thank you very much. But I don't want to stretch this, but when you're talking about condensed Brahman, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that condensed Brahman is where the impersonalists feel happiness, but the condensed Brahman is like form of prema when the devotees feel happiness. Is it something I'm wrong or right?
Well, I have to check that. You can show me. Because, but we are talking about condensed happiness. Depending on understanding, if you're talking from the point of view of the impersonalist, then it's not. But if you're talking Brahman as devotees understand Brahman, then yes, it's condensed Brahman.
In the reference to the verse, Brahman Vipatishtaham, where impersonalists will experience happiness of Brahman, but he's a source of Brahman, so the devotees will experience the same Brahman as a Krishna.
Yeah, that same Brahman they experience in another level of happiness. Because the approach of Brahman that has the impersonal philosophy is that you are Brahman, actually. When you say Aham Brahmasmi, you are talking about unity. You know? I'm one with God, but for Vaishnava it's one and different. So therefore there is place for a relationship. If there is no relationship, there is no happiness for Vaishnava. And finally, that's why Prabhupada explained that in this purport that we read, that the karmi, the jnani, and the yogi, they have to return back. Because at one point, the soul needs relationship. So they have to come back to the material platform. So it's like a dreaming, like a sleeping, when you are very tired, not doing book distribution, like really, 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 really tired, you just want to go to sleep, you know? You go to the sleeping bag, the bed, and you just merge there, you know? Like sleeping and there is no dream, nothing, like you are there. But how much time you can stay in that platform? At one point, you want to wake up and start activities again. Although it's a lot of pleasure, you're there, but at one point, the impetus for activity comes back, you know? So that it's not a natural position. It's like going in an airplane and you have to land in one place. So this is not landing, the happiness of Brahman. So at one point you have to come back and perform activity. So either you perform devotional service or you come back to the material platform. It's just a momentary. It's like a resting after so many life, many births and deaths. No, you come to the point of Brahman liberation, then you may want to stay in that platform for some time, but finally the soul will ask you for, as a spiritual soul, you want to perform exchanges with others.
Chapter 2, text 32.
Yes.
And I remember that verse in chapter number 13, Kshetra Dinsha Bhimahati. Implicated, okay. That Krishna means God, consider himself Jiva. Like they give example of rope and snake. That Kshetra Dinsha Bhimahati, I am knower than the fish, you know. That means actually Paramatma is a knower, but in ignorance they consider himself a Jiva. And then they do not remove Paramatma, actually Paramatma comes out. You got the point? Kshetrajna cha api maam vidhi, at the point. So I am the knower of the soul.
Yeah.
One is a super soul and one is a soul.
Yeah.
But impersonalists conclude that there is only one person who is super soul. But in ignorance, they consider him as a soul. Ignorance, the God forgot that I am super soul.
Yeah.
So, they even think that Paramatma is like this. They forgot Paramatma, forgot that he was super soul.
Yeah.
How can they forget?